Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, look up, or maybe don't look up. I don't know. There's a Chinese rocket that could be plummeting to Earth piece by piece sometime this weekend. Is it possible? Likely? Are you in danger? Dr. Lucianne Walkowitz joins us now from the Adler Planetarium. Lucianne, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell me about this Chinese rocket that is threatening our existence, or maybe not.
Well, first of all, I encourage everyone to be calm, first and foremost. So if you want any reason to be calm, I'll tell you that this actually happened last year. It's just that we were all kind of busy. So I can tell you a little bit about it. But number one, I don't want your listeners to worry unnecessarily.
So you're saying something similar like this happened a year ago and we just didn't pay any attention to it?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, look at that. Well, there's something for the media, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it is an event that's worth paying attention to. So I'll give you the overview. So back on April 29th, there was this launch that was a rocket called Long March 5B, and it was carrying something called Tianhe, which is the first module of the next Chinese space station. So usually when we launch things into space, there's the thing we're actually launching into space, in this case, Tianhe, and there's also the launch vehicle, which means the rocket that it goes up on. Now, under normal circumstances, what we do is, you know, have the launch vehicle itself, the rocket, come back down to Earth. So it doesn't go up into orbit. It just goes up, releases what it needs to release into space, and then comes back down. And that allows us to figure out, you know, ahead of time, where exactly the rocket is going to land.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's the sort of thing, is it with SpaceX now that they've actually been able to take that vehicle and land it back on a ship? Is that what we're talking about?
So normally, SpaceX is sort of unique in its ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they do that is that they reuse rockets, right? So to them, it's very important to recapture that part of the rocket. But normally what happens is it just splashes down in some pre-planned area, usually on the ocean, so that it's not posing any kind of danger to life on Earth.
and in this case, it went up into space, so they had less control or knowledge about where it might be coming down.
Yeah, so this is what we call an uncontrolled reentry. You'll see in the coverage of it that there's a lot of like very outlandish language, like hurtling back to Earth, plummeting, falling out of the sky. Really what's happening is that this rocket stage, Long March 5B, went into orbit, but it didn't get very high up. So right now it's experiencing friction, the drag from Earth's atmosphere, and it's orbiting around the Earth, but it's slowly, slowly, slowly coming down. Now, the reason that these unplanned reentries and uncontrolled reentries are not ideal is that it makes it very hard to predict where actually it's going to land. So at the beginning of this, when I said, you know, not to worry too much, part of the reason that you don't want to worry is that most of the Earth is covered with ocean. Having said that, depending on when this rocket stage reenters the atmosphere, it is possible that it might, or some part of it might survive reentry and then land somewhere that, you know, is potentially inhabited. I mentioned that this happened a year ago. This actually was a different, China launching a different launch vehicle. And what happened was that scraps of it survived reentry. So usually when things come in through the atmosphere, they burn up. But in this case, the rocket is like 20 tons. So there's more material, and that means more of it might survive burning up through the atmosphere. So last year, some scraps of metal and some leftover material from that rocket did land in the Ivory Coast. Now, it didn't injure anyone. It didn't hurt anyone. But this is the kind of thing that we want to avoid in space exploration because, of course, we don't want it to pose any threat to people whatsoever.
And China could avoid this, right? From what I don't know if this is them being a bad actor, but this is sort of them flouting the concerns of the rest of us. They don't have to do it this way?
Well, yeah. So the complaints that I have seen amongst the space community is that since this was an issue last year, it was presumably a known issue and hopefully could have been avoided. One of the challenges for us here as, you know, space professionals in the United States is that there's actually laws against scientists in the United States and the Chinese science community sharing technology or collaborating. So a lot of times figuring out why something happened for us here in the United States is difficult because we don't have access and transparency because we're actually prevented by law from collaborating with Chinese scientists. So that on both sides makes it very difficult for us to figure out exactly why this is happening again. It's easy to say, you know, like, oh, you know, this is you being a bad actor. I think definitely there's a case to be made that, you know, having this the fact that this happened before does mean that China has a responsibility to, you know, not do things that will potentially endanger people. And I'll point out that, you know, depending on when it reenters, so we think that the reentry window is sometime early Saturday to midday Sunday in Central Time. And I'll point out that within that window, this rocket stage goes around the Earth every 90 minutes. So it actually is like a huge swath of the planet that it could land on, including parts of China. So, you know, it's not just that something they launched might, you know, potentially be hazardous to another country. It could also be hazardous to them as well.
All right. Since I've got you on the phone, like Casey Kasem, we'll keep our feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars. What should we be looking for this month up in the sky?
Well, since we're talking about Tianhe, I will say that there is a wonderful website that you can use to actually see its passage overhead. So there's a website called heavensabove.com, and that's heavens-above.com. And on that website, you can look down, it'll show you like satellites, and you'll see that Tianhe is listed there. You know, much like here, are the United States is a participant in the International Space Station, and occasionally you can actually see the International Space Station pass overhead. Mm-hmm. Looks like just a bright moving star. You can do that with Tianhe as well. So you might actually be able to see it pass by. There's, depending on your viewing conditions, there's also a small possibility that you might be able to actually see the rocket stage following behind it. Again, it will just look like a bright star. In terms of things that humans did not put up in space, just coming up this week, we're going to be having a new moon. And then next weekend, there will be a lovely sight, which is the crescent moon first being close to Venus. And that's around the 12th, so in the middle of next week, right around sunset, just after sunset, if you look kind of towards the west. You should see Venus, which again looks like a bright star, and the new crescent moon just next to it, sitting in, the constellation of Taurus, if I'm not mistaken. And then later, the weekend after this coming weekend, the crescent moon will also be near Mars as well. So the moon will be putting on most of the show throughout the early part of this particular month.
And sometimes it makes it hard to focus, but when I'm looking up at the stars, I like to have a cold beer in my hand. And
oh, yeah.
So what's this about the Adler coming up with the beer, marketing a beer?
Yeah, we have a wonderful collaboration going on with Empirical Brewery. We had, just about a month and a half ago or so, our first collaboration with them, Space Beer. It is a wonderful, delicious sour. The first version of it was made with peaches and plums. And this time, just recently, we released Space for Everyone Mach 2, which is another sour beer, this time with pomelo, which is kind of like a grapefruit, like a citrus-type flavor. Mm-hmm. Very refreshing, perfect for the warm weather coming up. And it also is a fundraiser between Empirical and the Adler. So we really appreciate them partnering with us to throw some love our way.
That's fantastic. Listen, one other note. The reporter in me needs to ask you. I was thumbing through the paper today and saw your name in a story because you had sued American Girl Doll because of a doll that you had argued had a pretty remarkable likeness to you in your career. You settled. It didn't go to court completely. I'm just wondering if you have a comment on that.
I don't have a comment on that at this time.
I certainly appreciate that and understand it. I'm glad you commented on everything else, Lucienne.
My pleasure.
Dr. Lucienne Wachowicz from the Adler Planetarium. We'll talk again. Thanks, Lucienne.
Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.